Lord, we acknowledge right now that we can only gather because of your worthy name. We can only come before you because of your worthy name. Lord, we pray this morning that you would continue through your Holy Spirit to open up your word to us in life, Lord, that, Lord, we would grow up in you, Lord, that we would see you more clearly, and, Lord, that that would lead us to worship. Amen. This is new territory, in the second half of a message, so y'all bear with me. We're going to do a little bit of review, just for any folks that weren't here last week. And then we'll start back into the Psalms that we were looking at. Last week we started looking at the first book of the Psalms, which includes Psalm 1 through 41. And in that book, in those Psalms, we were looking at David and his walk in salvation. I should go back. I think the title was Salvation, Are We Growing Up? Or Are We Standing Still? Or maybe Are We Backing Up? Our salvation surely doesn't change. Are we changing? In the Psalms, David many times will, especially in these first ones, will have a need. And he will ask the Lord for a need, and then he will wait. The Lord will give him an answer. He will meet him. And then, most times, David will worship. And as we are walking, when we ask questions, when the Lord answers us, does that lead us to worship? Where does it lead us? Where do we go? We talked about a few words in these Psalms. And I said, if you like any of these words, you may like reading these Psalms. The first word was Jehovah, God. I've asked 2 weeks now to start this portion with a song with the word Jehovah in it. Didn't have any. You got it? Okay. But that's okay. I also said that we also looked at these words, I, my, or me. How many times David says, I, my, or me? What's happening to me? Lord, answer me. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, protect me from my enemies. That was the next word. Enemy or enemies. We should all be very clear on who our enemy is. Thank God we're not king and having to have enemies of the nations while we're also dealing with our enemy, Satan. And the last word was salvation. Are we growing up? We stopped last week with Psalm 25. And I want to read a couple of verses out of 25 that we didn't look at last week. I was going back over this, and these few verses really jumped out. And I think with this morning's worship, I hate to say the flow of worship, but the river flowed. And we thank God for that. 25 verse 6. Remember, Jehovah, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth. He's asking God. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. I don't know how many of y'all had patented saying grace at meals when you were growing up. I remember my uncle had one every time. Very quiet, very humble approach. It always ended with, save our souls for goodness sake. And man, there it is right there in the book. I couldn't believe it. For thy goodness sake, save our souls. That struck me as I was reading yesterday. For thy goodness sake. Jehovah. It ends with Jehovah. Good and upright is Jehovah. Therefore will he instruct sinners in the way. We talked a little bit last week of learning, of being taught. We know we're still sinners, or we better know we're still sinners. The book says right there, therefore he will instruct sinners in the way. We are saved. The blood has covered our sins. Are we willing to be taught in the way? Are we willing to be instructed by God? We talked last week about, are we willing to be patient to be instructed by the Lord? Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Well, we know we're sinners. And the verse before this one said he will teach us, instruct us. Are we meek? Do we have the meekness of Christ's character being changing us from the old man into the meekness? The book says, the meek will he guide. The meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth, are such as keep his covenant and his testimony. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth, for such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For such as keep. Are we such as keep his covenants and his testimonies? As God's people, we've got to be. We need to be. He desires us to be. For thy name's sake, O Jehovah, thou wilt indeed pardon my iniquity, for it is great. He has pardoned our iniquity. If we know him, he has pardoned our iniquity, even though it's great. What man is he that feareth Jehovah? What kind of men fear Jehovah? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. There we go back to being taught, instructed. Do we fear Jehovah? It's a loving fear. It's a respectful fear. It's not a fear of hurt or danger. It's a fear of placing God in the right place in our lives. Making sure he has the first place. Making sure that in our actions, in our thoughts, and our deeds, we fear Jehovah. That way he can instruct in the way that he should choose. And then we're going to jump down to verse 14. The secret of Jehovah is with them that fear him. Thank God. We have a secret. God has lots of secrets. We haven't even begun to experience the secrets of God. His ways that we can't even comprehend because we're still hung in this earth. The secrets will come to those that fear Jehovah. That he may make known his covenant to them. And lastly, we did talk about this verse 15 last week. Mine eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for he will bring my feet out of the net. We talked about getting hung in the net. Are we keeping our eyes on Jehovah? So when we do get caught in a net or a struggle, Is He able to rescue us? We need to pray that He will rescue us. He will. He will. He promised that. All right, let's look at Psalm 26. We're going to start this. That was the review. Let's look at Psalm 26, verses 7 and 8. That I may cause the voice of thanksgiving to be heard and declare thy marvelous works. Here goes David again. That I may cause the voice of thanksgiving to be heard and declare thy marvelous works. Do we have a voice of thanksgiving? Are we able to give a voice of thanksgiving? If we are, we'll be able to declare His marvelous works. Are we thankful for what God's done for us? Are we continually aware of what God's done for us? It sure seems David was. David had a constant awareness, no matter what was going on, of what God had done for him and was prepared to do for him. That's another thing David had a lot of, was faith. Do we have faith? Is our faith being built up? I find myself struggling with, I don't think it's lack of faith, but the amount of faith. I don't think any of us lack faith, but it's how big is the faith that we have, or that we allow the Lord to build in us. I've got faith, but sometimes we may wonder about how much faith we have, but God has done it. Verse 8, Jehovah, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Where does God's glory dwelleth? It's not in a house of building. It dwells in each one of us. It is Jesus Christ. Are we a well of it dwelling in us? Do we rejoice? Do we give thanksgiving? Do we love the house of Jehovah? Do we love what God has done? Do we love what has begun to be built on the rock? Do we remember that the rock, our Lord, is part of the house? The main part, the full part? Sometimes I think that we try to run along and without the cornerstone being in place when we start. I know I do. And the Lord teaches me to hit the brakes, back up, get the cornerstone back in place, then proceed. I think that's real important when we're studying the Word. That the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of the cornerstone that the Word is, the living Word. Jesus is the Word. To remind us that the cornerstone has to be in place in our hearts. And next, and then the Holy Spirit has to be working in us for us to see this Word. I was hanging a lamp yesterday down in the basement. I've got a shop and I need bright light real close to where I'm working. So anytime we go to garage sales and yard sales and I'll find one of those lamps that swings out and moves around, I'll buy them and put them up. I've got them all over the place. Well, last night by my appearance, you wouldn't think, well, he's a neat guy. Not neat, cool, but neat as in neat and orderly, clean. If you go to work, you can see how clean I am. At work, everything's clean. At home, everything's clean except my chair and the little table beside it. Well, last night I was putting up a lamp, and I was talking to the Lord, thinking about these verses and what He would show me for this morning. And I was, any of you guys got or ladies have a container of screws, nuts, bolts, every description, every size, every kind you can think of? Well, I wanted all four of the holes I had drilled in the base, I wanted all four of the screws to match. I didn't want them to be odd. And it's just the old shop. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to notice. But that's the way I work. Well, My father used to take his container of nuts and stuff and go into, you know, get on the concrete and roll them out so he could see everything. Well, that's an idea. All right. There could be, I don't know, there could be 300 pieces spread out. Well, I thought about that, and right before I thought of my dad pointing out, I thought of the Word. I thought, wow, we've got the Word. And do we just throw it out on the sidewalk and kind of look through it, get it all spread out real like that? Then I started doing it the way I do it, and I look through the, it's only a little container, and I move the stuff. And obviously they fall back in the hole where they were. And I'm doing this, and I go, there's one I like. And I pull it out, and it fit perfect. I'm like, all right, I know what that one looks like, that. I'm going to lay it down here. I wonder if any more in there. I reached in, and I was going through like this. Ah, there are no more in there, Herb. And I went over and said, well, I wonder if I can find another kind. Ah, there's one of those looks like that one. I pulled it out, and I had missed it. When we read the Word, are we shotgunning? Or are we picking it apart? Are we studying it piece by piece? Are we going back through it and back through it and back through it? Are we reading it, chewing it, going back and reading it and chewing it? Are we looking for the little things? All of y'all, I'm sure you've been reading the Word, going along, the Holy Spirit's with you. You read a verse and, man, I have read that verse 100 times, but I never saw that before. I'll bet I moved my finger 100 times through that little section looking for that screw that looked the same. And there it was. But I had to spend the time digging through it and looking. Do we dig through and look for what's in the Word, what the Lord has for us? I was really encouraged last night down there with my nuts and bolts. I just felt like if we ask the Lord to do that for us, He will. And how much we need to be digging in the Word. Well, I never found 3 that matched. I found 2. So they went on the top 2 holes, and I found 2 that were like on the bottom 2 holes. And the lamp got hung, but it's got nothing to do with the screws or what they look like on the end. It's got everything to do with what those screws do when they're in place. Do we have the Word in place in our heart so it can do its job? Have we picked through it and chewed it together individually as a group? We can be familiar. Well, I know the verses because I know the chapters of the Bible. I know the books of the Bible because of the kids' song. Matthew and the book of... Thank God they get it. Then do we open it? Do we read? Do we sift through? Do we turn it up and ask the Lord to pick out those little things? And I found that was really encouraging. When you start picking, there's a lot of stuff that's the same. It's repeated a lot because we need to hear it a lot. And we find that with David in these Psalms. How many times in that, when we're looking at chapter 25, Psalm 25, was the word instruct, teach? It was there a bunch of times, even right in a row. He's trying to get us to hear something. Are we listening? Are our eyes open? Are we awake? Psalm 27. I don't know if that was more review or not. I don't think it was. Psalm 27, verse 1. Get back into the meat of what we've been trying to share about. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. That's a statement of a fact. If it's not a statement of fact in your life, ask the Lord to come into your life and shine His light on you. We need that extra light as His people. We need all the light we can get. We need to have people getting saved. We need to be shining our light. There are all kinds of techniques to shining our light. Some of us shine a light with a red muffle over it. So it's there, but it's a little protected. Some of us may not shine it at all. Some of us shine it and we look for more power to shine it, brighter. I don't think God's interested into the degree of how much light. He's interested in, are we doing it? Are we letting our light shine? Are we letting people see our salvation? Thank God there's some that have a God-given gift for evangelism, to really share the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank God there are those that pray in hidden places for what God is trying to do in His church. And thank God for everything in between. Are we part of that? Thank God, we hope we are. 27 again, verse 9. I think. Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Cast me not off. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He's not going to forsake us. It's taken care of. Jesus paid it all. These are lots of things we've heard before. We've heard Jesus paid it all. How many times have we sung that song or heard that little term? Is it a living reality in our lives? Jesus paid it all. Every day. Do we dwell there? Where is our habitation? Psalm 28, 6 through 8. Blessed be Jehovah, for He hath heard the voice of my supplications. There David is again, blessing Jehovah. He's heard His calling, His crying. God hears us. I think that comes down to, are we calling? Are we crying? Are we asking? God is there. He will answer us. Are we allowing ourselves to reach and pray and ask for the riches that are in our Lord? Or are we trying to get through on our own? Are we trying to just keep on digging in the sand? Keep on digging. Keep on pulling. Do we start with asking the Lord when something comes up? Is that where we start? Is that where we end up after we've tried to do it ourselves? I think the Lord desires us to start there. Actually, I know He does. I may not know it as a reality in my life, but I do know it because the book says it. Forgive me. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. My heart confided in Him and I was helped. Therefore my heart exalteth, and with my song will I praise Him. Jehovah is their strength, and He is the stronghold of salvation to His anointed one. We are all anointed. Years and years and years ago, a brother shared on us being priests. I can remember that thing like it was yesterday. I'm sure some of y'all, without saying the brother's name, you know that message that was shared here. I think it changed my wife and I. We have a position that has been given to us. We are priests now. If we can find a way for the Lord to change us to be able to live where we have been positioned, our lives will be a lot easier. Do we live there, or do we talk about it? Are we reaching for it? Are we desiring it? Or are we saying that'll come later? Maybe when the kingdom's set up. Maybe after the Lord returns. Sometimes I think of the race we're on and whether we put things off. I'll learn that later. I'll get it later. The Lord will come back and then it'll all be taken care of. There's going to be a whole lot of teaching done after the Lord returns, for all of us. But I think David's example is that he wants to be taught now while he's alive. He needed that teaching. He needed that changing in him then, now. We need that change now. I think that we're maybe handicapping ourselves if we don't take up the position God has given us now on this earth. We're going to learn it. We're going to get it, now or later. I know some of y'all heard me talk about, when I think about the race we run, being on the track. And when John thinks of the track, he thinks of the guy that knocks him out of the way or bumps him off, shoulders him. I think of the track, and I'm running. Hard as I can go, it's no problem with the breathing. I'm not tired. I've got plenty of energy. But there are hurdles on the track, and I don't jump well. So God sends a hurdle into the track. We're plowing down through there. We're reading the Word. We're praying. We're thanking God. Shoo, shoo, shoo. There comes that hurdle. I'm going around that rascal. Get right back in line. Get right back in your lane. Boom, as hard as you can go to the next hurdle. I'm going around that rascal. Well, God puts those hurdles in our path so we will grow up. So we will be changed. So we will be conformed to the image of Christ during this time in history. Not when time stops. Are we willing to go ahead and jump the hurdle and pray that God will keep our knees or foot, our dragging foot from catching it and throw us in the floor? If we fall on the floor, we get up. God's there to grab us. I almost think we don't ever hit the floor, but I know it feels like it. But God knows. The Lord knows way more than we do the pain we feel. He knows way more. We feel some pain. We feel some hurt. It's way bigger for Him. He cares so much. He cares so much for us. He cares for our salvation. He cares for us growing up. He cares for us running the race. Are we availing ourselves to all that God intends for us to have during this time in history? In the time of our personal walk with the Lord, in our time in our walk with the church, with the body of Christ, in our time of this nation, in the time of what's going on in the world. Do we think about that? Are we part of it? I think we should desire to be. Is there help forgiven? And once again, this is what I just read. Jesus is our strength and our stronghold, our salvation. The salvation to His anointed one. Does that lead us to worship? Everything we've talked about just now, does that lead us to worship? Psalm 30, 1 through 4. I will exalt Thee, Jehovah, for Thou hast delivered me and hast not made mine enemies to rejoice over me. Jehovah my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Jehovah, Thou hast brought me up, brought my soul from Sheol. Thou hast quickened me from among those that go down to the pit. Sing psalms unto Jehovah, ye saints of His, and give thanks in remembrance of His holiness. I think that's what we just talked about. Verse 1, the Lord delivered us. That's a fact. Verse 2, the Lord has healed us through salvation. That's another fact. Verse 3, the Lord has saved us from hell. What have we been saved from? We've been saved from something so dark we can't even speak of it. We have been saved by our Lord Jesus because He was willing to go to the unspeakable places in our behalf. Does that lead us to worship? Boy, it does me. It does me. Worship His holiness. Worship Him because who He is. Worship Him because Jesus is the Son of God. worship our Heavenly Father because He is our Heavenly Father. We certainly can rejoice and worship when we think of what He's done for us. But do we worship just because of who He is? The perfect Lamb. The perfect Son of God. That we could. That would bring us to worship. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And the only little note I wrote down there beside that verse was, only Jesus could do this. Only Jesus could give us our salvation. Parents can't do it for their kids. Kids can't do it for their friends. Grandparents can't do it for their grandchildren. Each one of us has been saved because of what Jesus has done and nothing else. Does that bring us back to worship? Do we rejoice when we think of that? 34, verse 22. Jehovah redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust Him shall bear guilt. Do we live in that? Jehovah redeemeth the soul of His servants. None of them that trust in Him, shall bear guilt. I know this is repeating, but there it is again. We're going through the Psalms. There it is again. None of them that trust in Him. Do we trust in our Lord? Do we trust that He knows what's going on in our lives? Do we trust and depend on Him and allow Him? Do we want Him to be in control of what's happening in our lives? Is that where we live? Or do we want to have our lives and then when we come to Him, trust in Him? When we want to read the Word, that we get something out of it. When we hear a teaching, that we get something out of it. Or is it all based on Him? Do we start with Him every time? With Jesus? God certainly does. Do we start with Jesus every time we think of our hurts or our troubles? Do we start with Jesus when we decide to worship? Or do we think with our emotions? And sing something because it emotionally makes us feel good? Or will we sing it from a heart that is thanking Jesus for what He's done? Where do our thoughts start? Where do they dwell? And do they dwell there continually? Worship. And my soul shall be joyful in Jehovah. It shall rejoice in His salvation. There's the word for us. We need to be joyful and rejoice in His salvation. My soul shall be joyful. Oh, that Lord would have our souls be joyful. That's what He has died for us for, to bring us joy. To wash away this world and replace it with His joy. Is that what is happening as we walk with the Lord? Is joy replacing the sinful, fallen nature? Or are we still fighting around that sinful, fallen nature and grabbing joy as we can and picking it out of there? Or is that nature being replaced with joy? That we could have it replaced with joy. Verses 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is Jehovah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And Jehovah will help them and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them, for they trust in Him. There's another repeat, just what we've been talking about in the last two or three Psalms. There it is, written right down. I don't even have to say anything. I don't think. I can just read it. And it says everything that the Lord wants us to understand and get out of this Scripture as we're digging through. Are we getting that? Are we digging through and finding that little piece that matches? If I was lining up alike screws to match each of these alike verses through these Psalms, I'd have a whole bunch of nice exists alike. Because He's repeating it over and over and over again. Are we hearing it? I hate to say getting it, because that's Kenny's thing. But are we hearing it? Is it changing us? Is the Word of God, as we read it and study it, changing us? Or is it just adding knowledge? God help us if all we're doing is adding knowledge. If we're not being changed by this Word, forgive us, Lord. Change us, Lord. Are we praying, change us, Lord, as we look at Your Word? Are we asking the Lord to teach us to rely on the Holy Spirit each time we open the book? We certainly need to be. Verse 38. We're rolling. This is a great verse. I mean, I guess it depends on how you view what great verses are to you. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. No peace in my bones because of my sin. We have got to find the peace of God and replace the guilt of our sins. If we are drugged down daily by our sin in our life and guilt, that's one of the tricks of the enemy. Make us guilty for what we've done wrong, even though we know we've been saved and it's forgiven. That's about the only thing the devil has left to do once he gets our salvation secure. Once he knows our salvation is secure. He can just mess with us so we stay messed up about our guilt. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus to take that guilt out of us and let it be gone. If we don't, the enemy will catch us in a net. We talked about that verse back in 25. If we can allow the Lord to erase completely and flush that guilt out of us continually, we are sinners. But are we confessing that sin and moving on and not getting bogged down in it? Nothing worse than out playing in the mud in your four-wheeler and you go maybe where you thinking, I may not be able to get through that hole, but I'm going to try, and you bog down the back end. Usually what bogs down is the front end because the motor's there. Well, so you're bogged. There are different techniques to get you out of the hole. Well, when you're really bogged, then some other guy will come and try to help you. He hooks to you and he gets bogged. I've had as many as three bogged together when it started as one. So if we are bogged down by our guilt that we won't allow the Lord to flush completely away, we start bogging down other people. That can be the stumbling block that the Word says we're not supposed to put down. Are we causing other brothers and sisters to stumble because we are dwelling in guilt that in reality, and the Word says, we shouldn't even be dealing with. It's gone. Don't let us all get bogged down and drugged down into that hole. I was when they were building 64. No, I lied. 295. I was too young at 64. When they were building 295, we could go out and run the four-wheel drive trucks up and down that. But, you know, the road wasn't there yet. It was just dirt and hills, and it had rained and rained. We were out, and everything was. Well, we hit a. My buddy had a Scout, an International Scout. It was a good truck. We were flying down through that. Just open road. You go as fast as bouncing. Your head's hitting the ceiling. You're loving it. We jumped. We drove over thing, and boom! And immediately there was mud at the windows on the truck. Immediately, that had started to sink. It was down there. And I remember we were miles from home. Couldn't get the truck out. It was the middle of the night. We had to go home, and we walked miles. He went home. I went home. Took off all the clothes outside because they were muddy. We let ourselves get bogged down that far and walk away. We go home. We say, Lord, you're going to have to help us. How are we going to get out of this hole? Well, we went back the next day when all the big heavy earth moving equipment was out there. And obviously, you can still see the top of the truck. I'm not kidding you. The top of the truck was all you could see. And one of those heavy earth moving pieces of equipment driving through there. And you know how timid you are. Could you help us get that truck out? If you've got $500, I can help you. That's what he said. The man driving the piece of equipment. He didn't care about that truck. The devil doesn't care about our worries, our troubles, our problems. He loves that. You got $500, I can get that truck out of there for you. Well, what if I don't have $500? Then it becomes part of this highway. Don't bury it. I got to go home. Mike had to go tell his father. We buried the truck. What do you mean you buried the truck? What do you mean you buried the truck? Gave him the $500, went. We towed that truck out. Took a couple thousand more to get the motor back. It was a disaster. Do we let ourselves get bogged down in the things that God has already completely erased from history? That we could, that we would. I know we should. Don't let us get bogged down. Lord, please help us. For in thee, Jehovah, do I hope. Thou wilt answer, O Lord my God. David's sure of it. Thou will answer, O Lord my God. He doesn't say maybe you'll answer. He says he will answer. We have that same loving, kind Jesus who is going to answer us. He will answer. If you've got something that's long, that is a extended hurt in your life, extended pain for over a length of time, He will answer. Lots of us have things that just put us, that can drag us down. If we can take the joy and know God will answer. God will answer. In His time. Can we wait for His time? Can we be content and wait for His time? Here's another. It comes at the end of the psalm. He's begged, he's pleaded, he's answered. Now we get to the end. Forsake me not, Jehovah, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Be not far from me. Sometimes we're deceived in thinking that we are separated from our Lord by our sin, by our circumstances, by anything the world can throw at us. But David says, be not far from me. Our Lord is right there. thank God we don't live or we don't try to function in a belief that we have to get to a building for the Lord to be there for us. The Lord has released us from so much because He is there close to us all the time. What a handicap we would put ourselves in if we thought we had to get to a building to receive the help from the Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive us. He's right there for us every time, all the time, wherever we are, wherever each one of y'all are right now, He's there. Thank God. Thank God. He's there close to us. And if He's there close to us, do we let ourselves communicate with Him like He's close to us? We need to. He's right there. Do we live a life communicating with God? Do we live a life communicating with our Lord? David did. Every time you look, I mean, he's the whole way through these Psalms. He's communicating with God. And I would think a lot of the times it was out loud with a voice. Not quiet, but out loud. Lord, hear me. Save me from my enemy. Do we allow ourselves to communicate with our Lord like that? I bet you do when you match your finger with a hammer. Oh, Lord! Do we say, oh, Lord, when we're dealing with a little private sin that nobody else sees? Ucrops has got this thing, no profanity. That's crazy. No profanity. I heard a guy once use vicious profanity. Well, he's gone, man. Their policy is profanity. You're out of here. He was further up in the ranks. This is not I'm not squealing on you, Crops. I'm squealing on how we try to deal with the things that we do wrong in our lives. Well, he really wasn't saying it towards anybody. He was kind of saying it to himself because of the situation. That's like saying, I'm going to go over here and sin, but it's okay because of my situation. He didn't curse at someone specifically. So it's okay if he uses that language. Man, that's a deception. That's evil. Are we going to allow ourselves to be tricked so that we can let it slide a little bit? We talked about last week a little bit about the I don't speed. I caught myself twice this week. Almost speeding, yeah. A cruise control. You think, all right, the speed limit's 55. Watching the thing, watching the road. It's dead on 55. Let go of the button. Move the foot. It drops to 50. Y'all, maybe mine's broke. All right, try again. Back up to 55. Push the button again. Take your foot off the gas. 60. How did it do that? Let's not let ourselves get caught on cruise control. It's not reliable. Yours may be. Now, I'm talking about in our lives now. I'm talking about on the car. But it's not reliable. Cruise control is deadly. Let us not be caught on cruise control and just going along, everything's fine. But then when something drops in front of us, we forget how to hit the brake. Let us be practiced in how to hit the brake when we are about to step into sin. We always have a moment before we do it. Man, I could have hit the brake and stopped it, and even if you slide in sideways, you're still catching it with the corner and not head on. Don't get on cruise control to where we go, everything's beautiful, I'm driving, driving. A guy went by me. We were, my wife's, I thought friend. My wife's brother and sister are home from their missionaries, and they're in over there. My father's not here today. Pop, you didn't come in, did you? Anything that's not here is overseas. You got parents or friends like that, it's overseas. I don't know where it is, but it's overseas. They're missionaries overseas. They came home through Japan for this furlough. They're home. They're in the States now for a year. Well, the oldest son's name is Titus, and he's going to be going to Grove. He'll be a senior with Laura. Y'all remember to pray for Titus Listrom, not because of Laura. But he's come back now. This is his third time back. You know, they go for 4 years, come back. He'll graduate from high school this year, and the plan is he'll stay to go to college. So he's got some huge life changes coming. So if you think of Titus and Laura, pray for them. Oh, Titus, and I get talking about Titus. Japan, they said they rode on the super train. And and somebody will probably have to correct me, but that's okay. They said it was something, how fast? I said, how fast does it go? 380 kilometers. Well, how fast is that? And I thought, you know, well, kilometers must be really a lot. 180 miles an hour on this train, on this super train. They said, and they're only like 9 cars. And when a train comes in front of us, it's chugging along. And even our fast trains, you can see the people and see what they're doing and read the words and everything. They said when these things passed, it went and it was gone. You never saw it coming. You heard it go and it was gone. It was moving that fast. They said they got on one of these things and rode for 3.5 hours and were still going around a city in Japan. There are that many people in that kind of space. There were still buildings and everything. They never got to the country. I was amazed. And now, go back. Don't put ourselves on cruise control and don't get ourselves going so fast that we miss what the Lord's trying to do in our life, was the point of that aside. We can cruise control, or we can go way too fast and miss what the Lord's trying to do. And that's how we do with that. We'll do that on purpose. I've seen myself do that on purpose. I think this is where we're going to end. I think the Lord's gotten to me here, and I didn't even know it. Thank God. Let's read 41:4, and I'll finish. Lord willing. The last one, 41. Verse 4. I skipped 40, didn't I? That's okay. It's all the same. Don't worry about it. See what I'm saying? It's not the same. It's all it needs to be picked through. 41:4. As for me, I said, Jehovah be gracious unto me. Heal my soul. For I have sinned against thee. That's a prayer. Is that our prayer? As for me, I said, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. How gracious has God been to each one of us? It's immeasurable. We won't even know till we get there. And we may not know then because we may not have gotten enough light that we can see it. But it'll come. Lance said one time, we're not going to be sitting on clouds playing harps in heaven. There's going to be work to do. It's going to be a lot of work to do. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I think that's an example of we need to confess our sin. Repent anytime it happens. I've sinned against you, Lord. Forgive me. Here's what I did specifically. Leave it with Him. Does this lead us back to worship? Here we come back to it again. Where do we end up? Do we worship our Lord? Blessed be Jehovah forever and ever. Amen. Do we commune with our Lord continually? Do we confess our sin? Do we live in peace because we are forgiven? Do we worship our Lord? Do we worship our Lord because of His marvelous works? Do we worship our Lord because He is the Son of God? Salvation of our soul really is only the beginning. Are we growing up in Jesus? Sometimes we'll go 100 miles an hour, so maybe we don't have to grow up. We can fill our lives with enough stuff that keeps our minds off of what Jesus is trying to do. Forgive me. I do that. Maybe none of y'all do. Thank God. And I live a pretty sedate life, believe it or not. I have to live a pretty quiet life. But I'll still try to, if I can get one more tool. It'll make your job a little bit easier. One more tool. Do we focus on the things of this world or do we focus on Jesus changing us? Do we focus on Jesus changing us with the goal of being able to live more abundantly in Him and in His house? Lord, teach us. Please teach us. One real quick illustration. I am learning to craft knives, cutting utensils, tools. I start with a piece of metal. Literally, it's just a blank, it's just a piece of steel that's soft so it can be worked. That gets to, are we soft so we can be worked? Are we pliable before the Lord? Start with a soft piece. Now, when you have a car accident and the steel of your car gets dented in, there are techniques to pull it out some, but you can't ever get it true. Well, in that case, in that industry, you take and fill the void with something that bonds to the metal. And then you sand it and make it smooth. Okay? So it's like building a bridge over a valley. We don't want to go down here, so we just build across it. Well, if I've got that piece of steel up to that wheel, and I'm grinding, and look at me acting like I'm at the wheel. I try not to do that. I'm grinding and I'm watching. I've got a shield on. I've got a respirator on. It's kind of loud and I'm working on this steel. If I go a 32nd of an inch, a 64th even, I can see. My eyes are still good enough. I can see if I've messed up a 64th of an inch when I'm at that grinder. But you know what? I can't put anything to fill that 64th of an inch that I took out. There's no putting that metal back in there. So I've got to turn that metal around and to do the other side of the blade so it looks the same as the side of this messed up, I've got to take another 64th off that side. Folks, we as the body of Christ, as His bride, are only as good as everything level in that piece of steel. If we've got a dip, if a part of the body is hurting and it causes a dip in there, we can't throw in and fill that void. We have all got to come down and pick that piece up. Does that make sense? If we get that bad dip, it's not a matter of just throwing putty in there and covering it over. That dip is still there. It's just hidden. I've got to go and take that. I've got to grind the side of that steel down till that blemish is gone. Are we functioning like that before the Lord? Are we willing to go down to that blemish, help erase it, and then move on. I hope that illustration helps. It helps me. I stand at the grinder one day and thought of it. It come to me. Lord, we bless you for a time to look to you, Lord. We bless you for your word. We bless you for the living word that is our Jesus, that is our hope, that is our salvation. Lord, as we go on, we pray that we would be close to you, that you would stay close with us, that we would commune with you, Lord, that you would teach us how to ask for help from you, Lord, and as well as from our brothers and sisters, Lord. Teach us to function. Teach us to reach out. Lord, the book says you will reach out for us. You will answer. Thank God for that. Teach us these lessons, Lord. Anything that has not been of you, Lord, I pray it'll fall away. Anything that you have been able to. Share these last 2 weeks that is of you, Lord. I pray that it wouldn't fall away. Lord, we pray we would be pliable, we'd be teachable, that we'd be changeable. Lord, that our hearts would long to be conformed to the image of Christ and to nothing else. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.